We have an opening scripture, if you want to stand. It's in Acts 17:11. I'll start in 10. So, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night, and to Berea, who coming hither, went into the synagogue of the Jews, and they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word, and with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, where those things were so. Okay, you can be seated. So, the question is, on this scripture, were they listening? So they had to be listening in order to know how to search the scriptures. So developing good means of listening is a key to loving your brother and being able to support one another and be able to study the word to a better degree by learning some listening skills. So I've taught public speaking and personal communication at the college level for the past 15 years. And most textbooks on interpersonal communication have theories or ideas, and many of them are derived from the Bible. So over the years, you can see the scriptures on listening and interpersonal communication. They come straightly from the Bible, although they don't acknowledge it. So I'm still learning ways to listen to others. And God, listening is a known process. And being a good listener has many benefits in our daily lives in church. I believe it's essential for Christians to know how to listen both to God and others. In this lesson, I'll give you some theories on communication with scriptures to affirm these ideas, and I'll share some examples of poor and good listening. So the question I ask, what are you listening to? So in a recent question was asked to students in college, Ivy Tech College, check your phones and tell the other students how much time you spend on social media every day. So I guess there's an app you can go on and see how much time you spend on this and this and this. So what do you think the answer was? Less than an hour, 1 to 2 hours, 3 to 4, more than 6 hours a day. Just about the majority of all students said 6 to 7 hours, 8 hours a day. They spend listening on social media. So how much time do you spend daily on your phones? How can you love your neighbor if you're filled with the world's ideas? By listening to all the social media, all the bad news, all these areas, you listen and it begins to change your identity. How much time do you spend daily listening to subjects related to God? We learn to love our neighbor by listening to God and godly men. I know Chuck spends a lot of time listening to godly reviews and information on the Bible. So there's a lot of good things in social media, but there's a lot of evil things too. So what are you spending your time on, and how are you listening? So what is communication? College textbooks, Interplay defines communication as the sending and receiving of information that can be one-on-one or in a group like it is today. Communication requires a person to send a message who initiates the communication and a listener who receives and interprets the message. This is from Adler, 2022. So Bible communication is similar. It starts with a person wanting to send a godly message, wanting to give a lesson. And I would encode it in a particular way to a particular audience so they would have understanding. Example, Jesus communicated this way to the accusers when adulterous women and how they listened. So in John 8:4, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. What sayest thou? So they're asking Jesus a question. And Jesus spoke, and the accusers listened and understood his response as they heard. He spoke communicating a message by writing in the ground. So that was one way he adapted the message. John 8:9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So when the Jews listened, they decoded the message, they became ashamed and walked away. So Jesus' response came, they heard it, and they became ashamed, and they went away. Encoding the message with godly principles lead people to godly results. Encoding the message with ungodly principles will cause listeners to respond unexpectedly. So if you decode wrong, it may cause problems. Healthy communication is essential. Lousy listening is like eating a pig. Good listening is like eating a T-bone steak. So are you eating a pig or T-bone steak? So charismatic preachers, most successful charismatic preachers, know how to speak effectively so the audience will want to listen to them and be inclined to follow. Are Judean Christian preachers bringing godly results or causing the listeners to respond in ungodly ways? So they are persuading the audience in many unbiblical situations and people deceived. Is their message Christ-like, antichrist-like? Godly or ungodly? Good, bad, biblical, unbiblical? Or is it the truth or the lie? Wendolf, no date, says, fast forward to growing charismatic churches. And guess what? People are not looking for information. They're looking for transformation. They said, leaders who live in the past end up dying in the future. So we see a change. The internet's full of information. But I like the old style tradition, coming here, having a lesson, having teaching, having songs. And that's done away with in most churches. A wholesome tongue is the tree of life, but perverseness, therefore, is a breach in the spirit. Okay, got a question for you. Which person below is the most charismatic? Is it Joel Osteen, Paul Kane, George Smile? How about Walt Giddings or Don? But you can see that a lot of the names on there are very successful preachers. They have a large crowd, and they have to tailor the message today to the audience, not necessarily to the Word. But I like coming here because Don and all of us have good scriptures and good Word, and they encourage us to study and to find out on our own. So I think that's what a church should be. So a little bit on the lighter side, 7 habits a speaker says that turns off the listeners. So things you say can turn off the listeners. Good listening skills require effort and cooperation with all parties. A public speaking expert, Bowen, 2013, says that people with poor speech etiquette always use these 7 rude phrases. 1 is, do you want to? How many of you heard some of these? Do you want to do this? Well, in a way, that's a manipulation. So, will you do me a favor is a better way to say. After all, people generally like to pitch in. However, they do not want to feel manipulated. So you begin to change to get people willing to participate. Here is the thing. This does not sound unimportant. If you offer opinion, say, I think this. These words suggest, remove any suggestion that you are proud, issuing a declaration. How many times you hear somebody say that? Right, right. It's a manipulation instance upon agreement. At best, it's just a filler word. I cannot think of a more critical moment for the team. Can you? So just by changing, thinking things around, you're helping the neighbor, you're helping people not to be ashamed, not to be manipulated. Well, we'll figure out a way. This is an insult, and it's mean. Better way to say is use the warmer language. Well, let's talk about it and figure out a way. So you involve people when you communicate. It is what it is. This phrase usually is a shorthand for stop complaining. A better way is, that's tough, I'm sorry you're going through this. It can make a difference by allowing the other person to feel heard. So just by changing a few words around, you're helping other people to respond in a healthy way. A couple more. Obvious. This word, subtly or not so subtly, conveys that anyone disagreeing with the speaker is wrong. Even if you do not realize it, using it can make you sound arrogant. They suggest to skip it altogether. Remember, silence sometimes can be beautiful. Most effective speakers know that stating how smart you are, showing superiority or correctness, wastes time and wins no friend. So people don't want to hear how smart a preacher is, how arrogant you are. It kind of turns them off. And how about this? Well, you want my honest opinion about this? Well, I was just joking. First, did anyone ask your opinion when you're speaking? If so, they probably do not expect or need a rude response, masquerading as honesty. May I share with you an idea? So use warmer language. Ask them permission to share an idea. People want help, support, and solutions, but they don't want to be manipulated and told. So, for speech is to reveal that which is concealed in thought. As in the case of a person, speech reveals to the hearers the speaker's concealed and hidden thoughts. This is from Adler. So, brought up earlier, Christ speaks in parables. He speaks hidden thoughts, and the listener, as you study the word, reveal the hidden thoughts that Christ is speaking. And those that don't have an ear, they don't understand. So good listening is a gold mine. Bad listening is a slime pit. So develop good listening skills and you'll be rich to be able to share with each other. Let's look at some gossip. The enemy is out there. He wants us to gossip and talk about others. Worldly environment influences the way to stray from God and communicate like the world. Leviticus 19:16, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of the neighbor. I am the Lord. So what do you do instead of sharing gossip? 1 Timothy 1, 5:13, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they not. So I heard a message the other day, gossip goes way back, even to Abraham. Because we know that Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100. If you imagine people round about saying, well, Isaac can't be their son. Maybe he was adopted. So they're trying to spread lies to discourage her lineage. They might be going around and saying maybe she had an affair when she was kidnapped by the king. Maybe it's his baby. So gossip has always been there. People like to gossip. So begin to think about things before you say. According to Lucas 2018, 97% of people know making up rumors about someone's sex life is not okay. so they know not to talk about other people's lives. But 39% of employees have seen it happen, and 6% say they participated too. People do not just casually overhear inappropriate combinations, they tend to chime in. So I've been there, and I'm sure you have too. Someone starts a story and you like to listen, and then, yeah, chime in about that person. I was at a church setting many years ago, and I had a friend who's passed away, but we used to get together and talk, and it was at their meal afterwards, and so we both was talking about another lady in the church, and an elder came up and said, "You shouldn't be doing that. Just stop it. You're gossiping." So she did the right thing by telling us, "Hey, that's wrong to do that." It's best for us to share ideas with people if they're falling astray, to go to them, to tell them. So in an older study from New York Daily News 2009 suggests that 80% of what we talk about is gossip. So we're listening to it, we come home, we go places, and we tend to keep the story going. The sad part of human nature makes us want to listen to stories about others. What are we listening to? Gossip, news, negative stories? Does listening to wrong items change your identity? Chuck was talking on the way up about listening to false teachers. And if you keep listening and listening, eventually you're going to believe that. And it's going to change your identity. It's going to change who you are. But if you listen to the truth, you begin to change too as sons of God. So ways to stop gossip. "Excuse me, I thought I overheard you gossiping." Or, "Excuse me, I do not want to hear about your negative discussions," and walk away. So improved listening is not to listen to it. Just walk away. "I'm not going to listen to it." You'll probably offend them, but you're going to be better off not to hear gossip. So we are responsible to communicate to our brother when there's conflict or noticeable sin. So we want our brothers to listen to the Word of God. So we have that responsibility to share, convey his understanding by listening with good listening habits. And we know this scripture, Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt gain thy brother." So if he hears, you're going to gain thy brother back. So if someone makes a hurtful comment, they're likely to consider it, as they do not know what they're talking about. The person may be mean, dirty-minded, instead of external factors about life, pressures of life, having a bad day. So if you hear something, don't just assume that they meant it. But it's obvious to think they're having a bad day, get upset. Someone cuts you off in the road and you kind of get upset. They don't know how to drive, that idiot. They're driving too slow, driving too fast. But just take a minute and think, what is the context? And that is one of the keys to listening, is what is the context of that person saying? You begin to understand, where are they at? Where are they coming from? Are they having a bad day? Did they have problems with their wife? What's the context? And then don't assume, but begin to reach out in good language. "Can I help you? Is there something I can do for you?" Instead of trying to have negative thoughts. Offenses cause poor listening. When we listen and someone become offended at what was said, stop. So if you have offense coming in, then stop. Take a few minutes to pray. So when you're listening to someone and you feel offended, I didn't like what they said, they put me down, just take a few minutes to pray before you respond to hurtful comments. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you the right words. Praise and cast your negative thoughts and feelings to God. So we have examples of that many times in scriptures. Because God does listen to our prayers and desires for us to cast our cares to Him. You can look up Psalms 142, Psalm 62:8, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So we want to think about how people respond. So you're in a situation at work, the boss comes in, I want the information right away. What's that mean? Does he want you to drop everything and get the information? So a good way to respond is, boss, I heard you want this information right away. Do you want me to drop everything? Oh, no, 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 I just need it by the end of the day. Okay. Or, well, I got to turn this report in by the end of the week, so it's okay to finish it. So sometimes we miscommunicate what we hear because we think they're saying something because their tone of voice. So it's always best to clarify questions, make sure the two people are on the same page. So listening requires an effort, and communication requires an effort between two people to make sure that you're on the same thought line. The Bible says to be in agreement, so you need to be in agreement with the other person as to the message. So a good way many times to respond to someone is to give a compliment to a person because it causes them to want to listen. So when I go out to Dollar General or different stores, I usually like to compliment the person at the cash register. They have a hard job. They're young. A lot of times they don't want to be there. So I say, well, you're keeping the store really nice. Oh, yeah, I got out and cleaned. So they like supportive words to make sure that you're caring about them. So sometimes that can change a person's life by sharing a smile, giving a complimentary words, and they people listen when you compliment them. We had an example on a paper. Person turned in a poor paper, and it's easy for a teacher, you did a bad job, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, that doesn't help the student. So a principal listening, it's called a sandwich. Nice job for following directions on the paper. Ideas would be clearer if the spelling is checked. Overall, nice work. So you sandwich a negative between two positives. And this is one way Christ communicated in Revelation to letters to the churches. He always said something good. Revelation 2:3, and is born, has patient, and for my name's sake has labored, has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left the first love. So you compliment, get people wanting to listen, and then give them some constructive feedback. According to Adler, ways to listen, become a better listening, are to focus, take notes, hold judgment, give undivided attention, look for evidence and reputation. So you need to focus on the main parts of a speech and look for evidence a speaker is conveying. So one way to be good listeners is to take notes, jot down the main points, focus on what the speaker is saying, the evidence that the person is conveying. Many times it's easy to judge. I tell the students that it's easy. Well, I don't like what the person's wearing. I don't like the message. I don't like his attitude. So So those negative thoughts come in that keeps you from hearing correctly because you're having all these negative impressions. So to avoid judgment of a speaker, have an open mind. The Bible speaks of having two or three witnesses. Repeating it two or three times is essential for everyone who's speaking. Listen for repeats. I like Don's message last week. Throughout the message, Adam was not the father of Cain. So he brought that many times, and that kind of illustrates an important aspect. So when things are repeated in a message, it probably means it's important. So Cross did a study. I play this to my students. Listening skills are vital for an organization and for people. How much do listening skills contribute to the success of an organization? He quotes research from the Stanford Research Center in answering this question. The research found a definite answer. This research says interpersonal skills were 87.5. Having a certificate, knowledge was 12.5, or a degree to success in an organization. So to be successful in an organization in the church, it's about good communication skills. Somebody may have knowledge of the subject, and that's good because you want to learn, you want to be taught. But the way it's conveyed helps the person to listen, to understand more clearly. There's an effective listening model that was developed in 1996, but it's been revised since then. It's called the Hearer Model, and it provides several suggestions for improving a person's listening skills. The main idea is that a person speaks at the rate of 175 words a minute, but hears at a rate of 750 words a minute. Unless you're an auctioneer, even if you're 45, 50, you speak a little faster, but people are listening. But it's called spare brain time. Your brain has extra time. So while we're listening, our minds tend to go in and out, in and out, in and out. What's for lunch? Who's winning the ball game? I wish I was someplace else. What am I going to do this week? I have a test coming up. Maybe I should study. So you're going in and out all the time trying to listen. People think they can multitask, but really it's hard to do. So this model helps people overcome spare brain time and focus on the speaker. Now you can't get rid of all the time, but by focusing, it brings it down where you can listen more clearly. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So, focus. The U is for understanding. There's a rule called 80-20 or 90-10 rule. Most of you are familiar with it. 10% of what we read or listen to is essential. You understand the message more clearly by focusing on the 10 to 20%. So when you read, focus on the main points, and that will help bring clarity to it. Because what's in a textbook, there's about 10% is principles, the rest is fluff, examples, pictures. But there's sheets out there you can find to narrow down to tell you the main points. So if you focus on 10-20% of the main points, then you're going to have understanding. So Petro developed this. He was a French economist, and he said 90% of the wealth is in the hands of 10% of the population. He went further to say the 9% of the 10% of the wealth is in the hands of the 1%. So we think about the Jews, so they might have 1% of the wealth, 90% of the wealth. So it breaks down 90-10, 90-10, 90-10. That's just an example in economics, but other areas are the same. Another example, which is not on the screen, is every year so much of the population gets a burn. 10% of those that get a burn have to go to the hospital. And 10% of those that go to the hospital end up dying from it. So the 90-10 principle is the same throughout life, same way in items you buy at stores. And so the Bible talks about this concept in about tithing, 27, Luke, Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is truly unto the Lord. So 10% we give to the Lord, 90% is there. So it's 90-10, 90-10. The tithe demonstrates how much as we give, or some people give up to 20%, and the Lord takes care of us for being a giver. So R is for remembering. There's many tools out there for improving your memory of what is spoken. One tool is called a mnemonic. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February, which has 28, and leap year 29. So that's a mnemonic. There's a mnemonic for churches. Go eat popcorn. If you want to remember the Pauline epistles, go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So just having a little saying helps you to remember Scripture, helps you to be a better listener by having these things memorized. I is for interpreting what is intended of the speaker. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So the intent is of this verse is, if you love one to another. So look at the intent of the word. Many people like to search the scriptures to find out the history, to find out what's going on, so they can see the content better. So a good way to illustrate is use examples the audience is familiar with. It helps them to interpret what is being said. Exodus 25:28, and thou shalt make the staves of smitten wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. So the Bible's full of examples and help people understand. And sometimes it's good to give an example that they're familiar with. And many times, if you don't understand a message, you can always come back, give me an example of what this means. So just by illustrating something they're familiar with, so in church, you would use examples from the Bible. E is for evaluating. Be slow to judge. Hold any judgment of the speaker while the person is speaking. I would not say I like the speaker's dress. The speaker has a terrible message. He has bad English. So we talked about it earlier. Avoid holding judgment, criticizing the person, but be open-minded. 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So sometimes not saying anything is better. Think a positive thought. What was the time when this event happened? This helps in understanding the Bible. The last part of responding. Pause before you respond and think about what you want to say. Frame it in a positive, less shameful way. Remember, you cannot take back that text, email, or sermon. It's gone forever. So when you put it out there, when you text, so pause before you make a decision. A friend of mine that teaches at the college, he was in IHR for many years, and a company in Texas offered him an unbelievable amount of money to come to work for him, almost where he couldn't refuse. And they wanted an answer right away, but he learned listening is part of pausing. He said, I'll give you an answer tomorrow. So he went home, talked to his wife, and thought about it. And something told him, no, not to do it, even though the temptation was to move to Texas. So he declined. 6 months later, the company went bankrupt. So he would have been stuck in Texas without a job, without any money. So sometimes when somebody asks you to do something, a good listening skill is to pause. Well, I'll give you the response tomorrow. If they don't want to wait, then you know it's not a good decision. But sometimes just thinking about it, praying about it, seeking counsel is better than making the wrong decision. So listening requires to wait sometimes. Soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So you need to respond in your own words. Did I hear you correctly? Is that what you said? So the example earlier about the secretary, good listening is, did I hear you say this correctly? No. Yes. And that way you're listening, you know that you was listening to them correctly. When applied, the hearer model will help a person control spare brain time and learn how to become a better listener in person. So in closing, I'll let you out a little bit early today. God desires for speech to bring joy. So God wants us to be joyful. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is pleasing and to use to edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers. So our job is to minister grace to those that hear, to edify, to build up, to help our brothers and sisters. So God will help us to have healthy communication skills. Listening is a learned process. Take time to learn listening and communication skills. Love thy neighbor by having good listening skills. The words we speak may be a blessing to your neighbor.